I have a message today that I think will be of great benefit to many of you. It'll be a blessing. I want you to listen very carefully to the message and prayerfully. And I'd like very much if you'd get your Bibles and follow along as I read the Scripture. I'm going to be speaking from the book of Job, the first chapter of Job. Now, here's the title of the message: Some Lessons Learned in Trouble. There's some lessons to be learned in time of trouble. Now, those who believe on Christ, all true believers, have many things in common. The Bible talks about the common salvation. We have a common salvation. We're all saved by the grace of God through faith in the blood of Christ. We have a, no matter where you find believers in America or England or Mexico or Australia, wherever you find them, they have a common salvation. And then also the Bible speaks of a common faith. There's just one faith. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, one body. So it's a common faith. Everyone who knows the Lord has the same faith, not the same degree of faith necessarily, but the same object, that's Christ Jesus. But another thing we have in common is trouble. That's right, troubles and trials and tribulations. Listen to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There's no trouble or trial upon you, but such as is common to men. It's common. It's to be expected. You have no trouble and no trial, but that which is common to believers everywhere. Just as we have a common salvation and a common faith, we share this together too. Troubles, common troubles. But God, listen, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tried above that you're able, but will with the trial also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So there's no trouble or trial upon you, but such is common to believers everywhere. And then our Lord said to the disciples, before he went to the cross, before he ascended back to the Father, he said to these 12 disciples, he said, in this world you shall have trouble, tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1, listen to this. Blessed be the God of all comfort, the Father of all mercies, who comforts us in our trouble. The Father is the God of comfort and the God of mercies, who comforts us in our trouble, that we may be able to comfort those which are in trouble. Many of our troubles are to help us comfort others who have the same trouble. David said this. He said, it's been good for me that I've been afflicted. That's right, good for me that I've been afflicted. The Apostle Paul said, I glory in my infirmities and my sufferings for Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle wrote this, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Now, do you understand that? I've read you many scriptures, and preachers, whomever it may be, who tell believers that they will not have troubles, that they will not have suffering, that they will not have sickness, that they will not have sorrow, are not telling the truth. The Scripture says there's no trouble or trial upon you, but such is as is common to all believers. And our Lord said, in this world you shall have trouble and tribulation. And our God is the God of comfort and the God of mercies. And now all of you are familiar with the troubles and great trials of Job. I know you're familiar with it. I brought messages from the book of Job. And I believe the reason that the Lord allowed Job to be so troubled and so afflicted was so that he could be an example to us in our troubles and in our sorrows and in our trials. That's what James wrote. James wrote in the 5th chapter, verse 10, "My brethren," now listen to this, what I'm saying is this, "Job was greatly troubled and greatly afflicted, a man who endured much sorrow and pain and suffering." And it says here in James, the 5th chapter, that he's an example for us. "My brethren, take the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example." For an example of suffering affliction and of patience. These prophets are an example to us. These men suffered affliction, and they showed great patience in time of affliction and suffering. And this is an example. That's what he said. Take these men for an example. Behold, listen, we count them happy who endure, who continue in the faith, even during troubles and trials. You've heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the blessings of the Lord upon him. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Yes, Job was a man greatly afflicted and greatly troubled. But after it was all over, and he had patiently endured the hand of God upon him, he was greatly blessed. Greatly blessed. Now, Job was a man who knew God. Job was a believer. I don't have any problem with that. God called him my servant. I hear of people who debate the conversion of Job, when he was converted and so forth. But right at the very outset, the Lord God said, "Have you considered my servant Job, a man who fears God and hates evil?" Now that's pretty good testimony concerning this man Job. And then in chapter 19, Job said this, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Job believed in the Redeemer. Yet Job was greatly troubled and greatly afflicted and tried, really, as few believers have ever suffered in this world. There are very few believers that have ever suffered like this man Job, the servant of God, the child of God, the son of the Redeemer. And yet he suffered as few men have ever suffered. He lost his entire family. You can read that in Job chapter 1. He had 10 children, and they were all killed at one time. He lost all of his wealth. Job was a wealthy man, but all of it was taken away, just taken away in a moment. He lost his influence, his position. People ridiculed him, made fun of him. Job was a man of great influence and great power. And after this affliction and trial came upon him, no one cared for him. Even his wife turned to him and said, "Why don't you curse God and die? Why do you continue to maintain your integrity? Just curse God and die." And then he lost his health. Job became a man afflicted not only in mind and heart, but in body. And he didn't try to hide his sorrows. Let me tell you something here. Job didn't try to hide his sorrows. I hear people talk about suffering in silence. Not necessarily. Job was very open about his troubles. He was very open about his sorrows. He wept and grieved openly. He didn't try to hide them. You know, we sorrow. Don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to share your troubles and sorrows with others. You know, Job complained about his sufferings, but he never complained against God. He spoke about his sufferings and he spoke about his trials, but he never spoke against God. But he openly talked about his troubles and about his sorrows and about his suffering. We sorrow, believers do, but not as those who have no hope. Listen, in Job chapter 1, verse 20, if you have your Bible, open it there to Job 1, verse 20. After all this had taken place, his children were gone, his health was gone, his wealth was gone, his friends were gone. when all this took place, it says here in Job 1 verse 20, then Job arose and rent his clothing. That was a mark of great sorrow. They tore their mantles or tore their cloaks or tore their clothes and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped God. And he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with foolishness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sorrow and trouble ought to lead to worship. Ought to. It ought to lead us to praise God. If we're happy, praise God. Or if we're sorrowful, praise God. And like I said, Job spake against his pain, but he never spake against God. Job spake against his sorrow. He had a lot to say about the sorrow that had overcome him and flooded him and broken him. But in all this, he never charged God with foolishness. He never spoke against the providence of God. David did that. That's right. Job never compared his lot with others. Now listen to this. Job wept openly. He was in great trouble and sorrow. His heart was broken. His body was in extreme pain. And he let folks know about it and talked it over with his friends that came to comfort him. But he never spoke against God. And he never spoke against the good providence of God. And he never charged God with foolishness. And he never compared his lot with others. He said, naked I came out of this world, into this world, and naked I'll leave this world. And God gave to me, and God's taken away from me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He never made the mistake of comparing his lot with others. Why'd you do this to me and not to him? David did that. That's right. In Psalm 73, you read it sometime. It's a bad mistake. And God, in his good providence and in his sovereignty and purpose, has recorded that Psalm 73 where David complains because he was afflicted and other people weren't. And he found out God taught him a lesson. He took him down to the sanctuary and taught him a lesson. And David said, I was dumb. I was dumb as a beast. I acted so ugly in your presence, O Lord. That's Psalm 73, if you want to read it sometime. Now, I want to show you several things that I believe that Job learned during this time of great trouble and sorrow. I think we learn more at that time than we do in times of blessings and happiness. Lessons we need to learn. These are lessons that Job learned that we need desperately to learn. Will you listen to me? And think about these three or four things here. First of all, Job learned in this time of sorrow, in time of great trial, in time of great suffering, and some of you are going through some deep water right now and some bad experiences, and the hand of God is heavy upon you, and you're suffering, and your heart's broken, and your body's in pain, and you're in the sunset years of life. Job learned some things in his time of trouble. Let's see if we can learn them. The first thing that Job learned was this, the brevity and frailty of this life on earth. Here was a man in good health. Here was a man with a wife and 10 children. Here was a man wealthy, had everything that a man could possibly want. And suddenly, just like that, all 10 children were dead. And it appeared that he would soon die. He was covered over with boils from head to foot. His health was gone. In fact, when his friends came to see him, they didn't even recognize him. He was so afflicted and so disfigured and swollen, they didn't even recognize him. So he began to talk about what? He began to talk about the brevity of life. He began to talk about death. He said, in a few years, I shall go the way from which I shall not return. He learned this in this time of trouble. Job chapter 7, he said this, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." You know what a weaver's shuttle is? When I go to Mexico, we watch the weavers. They weave these rugs and blankets and other things, and that shuttle just goes like this, just faster than your eye almost, putting in those rows of colored thread. And that's what Job is saying. My days on earth are faster than a weaver's shuttle. He said, my days on earth are like the wind. James says, like the vapor. And then in chapter 9, verse 25, Job says, my days are swifter than a post. That's the mail carrier, the man that back then rode a horse or rode some kind of animal and delivered the mail, and he'd ride to a certain point, get a fresh horse, and ride to another and get a fresh horse, like that, you know, swifter than the post. They flee away. My days pass away as a swift ship driven by the wind, and my days pass away as an eagle hasteth to the prey. That's what he's learned. He's learned in the death of his children and the loss of his health and this great affliction that this life doesn't last long. He said here, a man is born of a woman and is a few days, and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And the number of his months are with God. Number of his what? Months. Why do we have to wait for sickness to learn this? Why do we have to wait for sorrow and trouble to learn this, that life is so fleeting? It's appointed unto men once to die. Life is short, brief. At its longest, it's just a few days. Why do we have to wait until we're in the hospital with cancer or heart trouble, or we're standing over the dead form of a loved one? Why do we have to wait to find out that this is expected? It's the lot of all sons of Adam. We're going to die. So teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart to wisdom. What kind of wisdom? To seek the Lord, to call upon Him, to believe His Word, to find my way into the Scriptures, to seek the way of God. Moses of old asked three things that every one of us ought to be asking and asking right now. Lord, show me your way. Lord, go with me. If you don't go with me, don't let me go. And thirdly, show me your glory. We need to know His way. We need to have His presence and to behold His glory. Why do we wait? Some of you sitting out there listening to me, you've got white hair, your days are far spent, the sun is setting, it's the end of the road, the sand's almost gone out of the upper chamber in the glass. What are we waiting on? Job learned the brevity of life. I'll tell you something else he learned too, secondly. Job also learned the vanity of earthly possessions. Job was at one time a very wealthy man, one of the most wealthy men of that area. He had great earthly possessions. And now, just so quickly, he had nothing. It was all gone. He was sick, sorrowing, empty. And he used the word naked. He said, naked I came out of my mother's womb. That's where I came into this world. That's where I'm going to leave. Without a thing. Naked. When a man's born, what does he possess? Nothing. When a man dies, what does he possess? Nothing. Then everything he possesses here is temporary. Isn't that right? Vanity. That's what Solomon finally, that's the conclusion to which he came. Finally, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. The fashion of this world faded. I had one brother. My brother was a brilliant, brilliant young man. He went to the Naval Academy during World War II. He went to the Merchant Marine Academy. After the war, he received a commission from West Point. He climbed rapidly in the service, lieutenant, first lieutenant, captain, major, lieutenant colonel, colonel. He was in all of the theaters. He was in all in NATO. He was in all of these special places. When he was recommended for brigadier general, when a plane came in, he was on the plane. Everybody stayed seated till the colonel got off. Top of the world, possessions, everything, fame, influence, power, battalion commanders. 48 years of age, he died. As far as I know, he had no spiritual interest. I couldn't tell if he did. As far as I know, he didn't have any interest in the gospel or interest in God. Now, where's all these things? They're gone. They're gone. They were here for the moment. A very brief moment, and then they're gone. Why don't we learn that? Job learned it. He said, naked I came into this world, and naked I'll be leaving it. But I'll tell you what we need to learn. We need to learn that we don't have to leave this world naked. That's right. We can leave this world rich in grace. We can leave this world rich in faith. We can leave this world with an inheritance in glory. I came into this world broke, but I'm not leaving it broke. I got treasures in glory. I've got an inheritance, he said, that's incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. That's right. I came into this world naked as son of Adam, fallen and depraved. I'm leaving this world clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, he that believeth on him shall never be ashamed, shall never be found naked. Why don't we learn that? No use me pushing this pulpit back, walking up and down in front of here, ranting and raving and take my coat off and sweat and yell and holler and do all these silly contortions. What you need, my friend, is to hear God's word, the truth of God about these important matters. That's what you need to hear. Preachers are entertaining. They're acting foolishly. They're claiming power they don't have. They're drawing disciples after themselves. They're building great monuments to their own names. What we've got to do, people have got to learn some things. They've got to learn who God is. They've got to learn who they are. They've got to learn the brevity and frailty of life. They've got to learn the vanity of all these possessions. They're not worth anything. And then Job learned this. He found out. He saw the hand of God in all that he suffered. The hand of God. Now you listen to me here. Many people read this passage and they read about Satan appearing before the Lord and accusing Job. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And a lot of people would say that Satan afflicted Job. And Satan took away his possessions. And Satan took away his children. That's not so. Job knew better. Job knew better. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. You see, my friend, Satan can't do anything without God's permission. You don't have to fear Satan. Don't be afraid of them that kill the body. Fear God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Satan had to have permission to touch Job. Satan cannot, the devil, demons, or any other spirit, evil spirit, cannot touch one of God's elect, one of God's sheep, one of God's children without God's permission. He couldn't touch Peter without God's permission. Say, our Lord said that to Peter. He said, Peter, Satan hath desired thee that he might sift thee as wheat. He can't touch you. You're a child of God. Satan can't touch you. He doesn't send the wind and the rain. God does. He doesn't send the storm. God does. He doesn't send the trouble. God does. God's the first cause of all things. Job didn't curse the wind that killed his children. Job didn't curse the Sabaeans who stole his cattle. Job didn't curse the Chaldeans who brought this evil his way. He said God willed it. He said the Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anything that happens in a believer's life happens by the will of God, for God's glory and our good. Samuel, when his two sons died, you know what he said? It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. My friend, Satan is defeated. He met Christ and Christ conquered him. Christ destroyed his power. He can't touch you. Will you understand that? Job knew that. All of this trouble. Some of these preachers saying, boy, the devil's got a hold of him. They don't know what they're talking about. Almighty God gave these demons, these Satan, this wind, gave them permission to afflict Job. For Job's good, and for our example, and for God's glory. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. And then, last of all, Job learned this. He learned not only God's the first cause of all things, but he learned to give thanks, even during the greatest trial. What did he do? What did Job do when they came to him with all this bad news? Well, he said he rent his mantle. He showed his grief. He was a broken-hearted man. And he worshiped. He fell down and worshiped God. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He did not charge God with foolishness. Here's the key. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God for you. Lessons learned in trouble. Are we learning? Are we good students? Are we like Job? Can we praise the Lord at all times? You want this message right for it? Send $2. That's what it cost us to make it and send it to you. Send it to the address on the screen. And write for the message, Lessons Learned in Trouble. Till next week, God bless you.